Sherlock sat cross-legged on John's bed, his back to John, and stripped off his t-shirt. "I comply under protest." He heard John's sharp intake of breath and grimaced. "It looks worse than it is."
"I can't believe I let you carry me this morning. I should be struck off."
John's voice was rough, but his touch was so light that Sherlock could barely feel it as the ointment went on. Sherlock let his eyes drift shut. "Don't be absurd. You're the only doctor I'd have come within a mile of me if I had my way. That ham-fisted cretin at St. Bart's—"
"He did a good job. A couple dozen knife wounds to stitch and these damn contusions and welts."
John's voice went strained again. He cleared his throat.
"The scarring won't be that noticeable."
"I'm not concerned with scars." John touched a particularly painful spot, and Sherlock drew a little breath.
"Sorry,"
John murmured.
"Let me know if it's too much."
"It isn't. It's just—" Sherlock groped for the rest of his sentence, annoyed that his brain seemed to be wrapped in cotton.
"Been a long day,"
John finished for him. Sherlock blew some air from his lungs. "Yes, a long day." He paused for a moment. "You haven't asked."
"Asked?"
John sounded startled. "About what Wilkes told you." John was silent for a moment.
"I didn't think you'd want to talk about it."
"Why not?"
"It's personal. You're not exactly a talker when it comes to your personal life."
Sherlock managed a snort. "Very observant. You don't want to know?"
"I want to know everything you want to tell me."
"And no more?"
"And no more."
"Why?"
"You have a right to your privacy. It's bad enough that bastard told me things I had no business knowing."
Sherlock turned his head enough to catch a glimpse of John. His face was set in something very like grief. He turned back hastily, strangely shaken. "Singular. Most people in your situation would think it's entirely their business." He closed his eyes as another spike of pain caught him by surprise.
"Sorry,"
John said quietly.
"Almost done."
Sherlock drew a breath, wondering at his strange compulsion to pursue the subject. Everything he said was true. I was ignorant and awkward.
"You were a kid."
Seb was the only one who expressed interest in having anything to do with me.
"He took advantage of you." "All right. Turn around so I can take a look at your neck."
Sherlock turned around to face John and lifted his chin. "We were consenting adults, John." John's mouth was set in a grim line.
"I'm not talking about legalities."
He gently removed the bandage on Sherlock's throat, flinching.
"Damn it, Sherlock, this is all—"
"You believe he took advantage of my ignorance?"
"I believe he took advantage of your innocence."
Sherlock almost laughed. John and his romantic notions. I was never innocent.
"Everyone's innocent, at least once in their lives. Sometimes more than once."
John applied ointment along the wound, his face twisting as if it were his own throat he was treating. Sherlock could feel the strained stitches protest and set his teeth. John pulled his hand away and wiped the ointment from his hand with a tissue.
"Just let me put a fresh bandage on, and we're done."
"He told you the truth. I hated it. I hated everything he did to me. And I kept going back." Sherlock wondered why he was still talking. John applied a fresh bandage to Sherlock's throat.
"Sherlock."
John's strained voice almost gave out. He picked up Sherlock's t-shirt.
"Put your shirt on."
Sherlock pulled the t-shirt over his head. "I've always wondered why I did that." John turned out the light, and Sherlock sat blinking in the darkness, trying to see John's face in the faint light from the window.
"Sometimes, being completely alone is worse than any amount of physical pain,"
John said quietly. Sherlock became slowly aware of some involuntary movement in his limbs, and raising his hands he could see, even in the darkness, that they were shaking. "My hands are shaking," he said calmly, turning them over and examining them. "Why are my hands shaking? John picked up his extra blanket from the foot of the bed and wrapped it around Sherlock carefully.
Because you're in shock.
John's arms went about him. That's ridiculous. Why the hell would I be in shock? John leaned his head against Sherlock's.
Because you just saw someone you used to care for murdered.
Care for? Sherlock was appalled by John's lack of comprehension. I hated him. I hated everything about him. I broke it off. Do you want to know why? John leaned back against his pillows with Sherlock in his arms. Sherlock felt no desire to resist.
If you want to tell me.
John carded the hair at the nape of Sherlock's neck as Sherlock settled against him, lying on his side with his head on John's shoulder. Succumbing to instinct, Sherlock wrapped himself around John, soaking in his warmth. I found his collection, videos and photos. Dozens of people, most of them were younger than I, much younger. There was a girl in those photos who couldn't have been more than 12.
Dear God,
John muttered. I confronted him. He laughed. I told him it was over. He told me not to be stupid. He offered me £100 a pop.
He what?
John's voice dropped to a venomous whisper.
He did what?
That was quite a flattering sum in those days.
Flattering?
John was breathing much too fast.
I should have...
He cut himself off and pressed closer, kissing Sherlock's forehead.
Sherlock.
I didn't accept.
Of course you didn't bloody accept.
I tried to interest the local police in his activities with minors. Can you imagine the stupidity? Of course he had moved his collection by then. I traced the girl. She denied everything. I looked like a fool.
You weren't a fool.
I thought uni would be different. A fresh start. Sherlock was annoyed to hear himself stutter, as if with cold. No one knew me there. But after that, Sebastian made certain that everyone knew me.
None of them knew you,
John whispered in his ear. Why am I talking so much? The appalling realization finally set in. Is this shock?
Yes, this is shock.
Sherlock was disgusted. I sound like an idiot.
Not to me.
I can't think, John. I can't bloody think. This was revolting. What if he stayed this way?
Breathe, Sherlock. It'll pass soon.
John rested his head on Sherlock's.
Would you like me to get you some tea?
I would like you to stay exactly where you are, Sherlock grated, tightening his arm around John's waist. And to forget this ever happened.
Go to sleep,
John murmured, nuzzling him. The state of medicine in this country is positively medieval. How the devil does a blanket reset someone's cognitive processes?
Sleep.
Good God. Do you suppose Anderson is walking about in a state of perpetual shock? It would explain so much.
Sounds like a plausible theory to me.
John was laughing softly into his ear.
Go to sleep, you nutter.
John kissed his temple, caressing him, and Sherlock subsided, feeling the tremors fade. He closed his eyes, synchronizing his breathing with John's. John was still holding him when he finally fell asleep.